Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join us this evening. Jim will be continuing his ongoing study of Hebrews chapter 11, and he comes to a message which he entitles A Message from the Grave. Lord, bless your word and work in each and every heart through it. These mercies we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and we read verse 4 in an ongoing study in this chapter, commonly called the Hall of Faith, but also the chapter by which we understand that we gain God's approval, God's smile, God's commendation through faith. Verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11 reads, "By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks." How this one single verse fills our thoughts with so many images and so very much. Let's take each portion of this verse, and it is so rich. Let's take each portion of this verse one step at a time. We have been considering how that the phrase "by faith" comes to us 19 times at the head of successive lives and successive verses through Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, it is imprinted upon us. It is pushed before us when we might say, well, let's set that aside. We've heard that. But the author comes back at us repeatedly, and he wants to say, I'm not sure that you really have grasped this as I would want you to, and as the Spirit of God would want you to, and as the plan of salvation is, that it is God's gracious gift to us that we receive by faith. That is what salvation is. It is not of works. It is not of our doing. It is fixing our eyes upon our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has accomplished so much for us. He, the better prophet, he, the better sacrifice, serving in a better tabernacle under a better covenant, as we have had through the earlier chapters of the book of Hebrews. By faith, let that so grip you. Let it so embed itself within your heart, and never set it aside, never push it aside thinking, oh, now let's get on to other things. Understand that God's gift to us is obtained by faith. God's salvation for your soul and mine is obtained simply by trusting in Christ's finished work on our behalf. By faith, we start off and immediately go to Abel, who offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Let us refresh our memories as to Cain and Abel. We go all the way back to Genesis chapter 4 and begin right at the outset of the chapter. Let me read verses 1 to 8. Now the man, that is Adam, had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Again, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Here we have, immediately after the creation account of Genesis chapters 1 and 2, and the account of sin entering into that paradise, the Garden of Eden, what we read with heartbreak in Genesis chapter 3, how that both Eve and Adam fell into sin, and the whole of creation, all of us, fell into sin. We are tainted right to the very core with sin as a result of their disobedience. We now are outside of the Garden of Eden, and we have born into that initial home of Adam and Eve, two boys, the older Cain and the younger Abel. They grow up, and we are not told all of the details of the family life. The favorite question that comes out of the earliest part of Genesis is, well, where did Cain get his wife? Well, undoubtedly, she had to be one of his sisters. There was no one else. So there are certain things that we simply aren't told about. Some details of the family. There were other sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. But here we're focusing upon the first two. We're focusing upon Cain and his character, and upon Abel and his relationship with the Lord. It comes about in the course of time, each of these two boys, the one, he becomes a farmer working with the sweat of his brow to bring about produce from the ground. Abel, on the other hand, he is a keeper of flocks, and each of them, from their own perspective or from their own work, they bring to the Lord an offering. Now, later on in the book of Moses, we would have it very clearly stated to us, and throughout the course of sacred scripture, we have it held out to us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There is no forgiveness. The life is in the blood. It's not in vegetables. It's not in fruit. It's not in the produce that we grow. The life is declared to be in the blood. And so Abel, he brings a bloody offering. He brings an offering whereby a lamb is sacrificed, and that there be a covering for his sin. Cain, he thought, these are good-looking vegetables. This is really the very best that I have to offer. And we read that the Lord had a regard, had a respect. He honored the offering which Abel brought, but Cain and the offering that he brought, he had no regard whatsoever. And this angered Cain. This really, really made him mad. The Lord sees it and asks Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well," and he most certainly at this point was not doing well, If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Hear that. Sin is forever like a lion that wants to pounce on us. Sin is forever in that position of wanting to overpower us if we will allow it. And God says to him, its desire, sin's desire, is to eat you whole. You must, however, master it. Cain tells Abel about all of this. And they were out in the field. Cain rises up and kills his brother. Worship can be a dangerous, dangerous thing. Here we have it recorded that the first murder was as a result of a worship service. How sad. These two boys were so different. And it continues on in Genesis chapter 4. The Lord says to Cain, where is your brother Abel? And Cain insolently, he says, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? How to say such things in the very face of God? And God says to him, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Come back with me now to Hebrews chapter 11, and this single verse, verse 4, with this reminder of the background of this passage, we have it said that by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he, Abel, obtained testimony that he was righteous. So we have that declaration by faith. Grab a hold of that. We have the reminder of what took place in Genesis chapter 4, that Abel offered, as did Cain. Abel, however, offered a better sacrifice. All through Hebrews, we have been focusing upon how that Jesus is the supremely better one. He doesn't just best Aaron or Moses or Joshua or the angels by a little bit. He is incomparably better. And the sacrifice which Jesus offered on Calvary's cross, it was incomparably better than all of those sacrifices that were offered over hundreds of years in the Old Testament, for those needed to be repeated either daily or weekly or monthly or at various feast times through the year or annually. We have Jesus, the better sacrifice, and here it is pointed out to us that Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. You and I, in our natural state, are exactly like Cain. We want to work and we want to bring the best of our hands and we want to be pleasing to God because of what we have done in and of ourselves. Abel hadn't made any of those flocks to grow. He had tended them. But he was taking what God had given to him and was offering it back to God. And he was saying, Lord, here it is, what you have brought about. I offer it, and its lifeblood, I offer it to you, the giver of all good things, the giver of life itself. Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. When you and when I come to the Lord and say, Lord, you're going to be impressed with this. Just look at what I am giving to you. God is not impressed.
God is looking for the sacrifice that Abel offered. It was a bloody sacrifice. It was a substitutionary sacrifice. God the Father is looking for us to pin our eyes upon Jesus, who was that better sacrifice for every one of us. God would have the heart of Cain that is within each and every one of us taken out of us, that the heart of Abel might be put within us, and that we might also offer that better sacrifice, the sacrifice of blood, the sacrifice of a substitute. And that substitute that we need is not a bird or a lamb, a ram, a bull. It is Jesus Christ, who, when he offered himself, did that once upon Calvary, and it was all done. There was no further need whatsoever. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. A better sacrifice. Through which he obtained. Abel obtained something by that sacrifice. He obtained a testimony that he was righteous, that he was walking in the right path, that he was not walking according to the course of this world, but that he was walking in the plan of God and in the purposes of God. You see, it's through faith, let me remind you, through the agency of faith, through the instrument of faith, that we gain God's approval. We gain God's approval. And here, Abel, that sacrifice which he offered by faith, it was through all of that, faith working in his heart, faith working in his actions, permeating them. We then read in the middle of this verse 4, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. Now, who was the one speaking? Who was giving testimony here that Abel was righteous, that he was doing the right thing? God. God himself is in the witness stand. Very often we see God as the judge. And indeed he is. Indeed he is the judge of all men. He is the judge of this world. There is no higher court of appeal than God himself. But here the writer to the Hebrews says that God is the one who is testifying about what Abel has done. God testifying about his gifts. God saying, I saw what he did, and I bear witness before the universe, before all of creation, that this man has done what he ought to have done. And he bears the stamp of my approval, of my blessing, of my commendation. God testifying about his gifts. Now, we would say, well, a lot of good that does. The man is dead. His wicked brother rose up and killed him there in the field. Please, please understand that this world is passing away, and that that world to which we go is our great hope, our great joy, our delight. We look from that world for a Savior who is coming to take us home. And Abel though he is no longer in this world,
the verse says that though he is dead, he is still speaking. He is still sending forth a message that we need to hear.
If we say, well, no good, doesn't do much good unless you're physically present in this world. A live dog is better than a dead lion. Well, when you look to where Abel has gone, to the very throne of God, to the presence of God, to the smile of God that was upon him, Abel, it says, through faith, at the start of the verse it said, by faith, and now it says, through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. And how it would be good for us to listen to every word that he has to say. How it would be good for us to take hold that this world is indeed passing away. All of the things that people so rejoice in this world, they're only for a moment. But for all eternity, Abel has the smile of God. He has the approval of God. I remind you again, as we started out in this chapter 11 of Hebrews, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By it, by faith, the men of old gained approval, and the same thing is said in the very conclusion, when we come, that all these things, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised because God had better things for us. Later on in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, we come to people who were viciously mistreated, viciously maltreated. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they went about desolate, they went about hungry. But their eyes were always fixed upon the goal. Their eyes were always fixed upon their master. Their delight was not in this world, but in that world which is to come. And friend, I would call you this day to so live in this world even as Abel did. Setting aside the approval or the commendation of this world and setting your eyes upon that which is to come. That which is to come. I declare to you that Jesus Christ is a mighty Savior. He is the most wonderful of all who have ever walked this world, who have ever touched this world. And I would bid you to come to Him. I would bid you to fix your eyes upon Him as the one who is the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I would bid you to get your eyes off of the trinkets and all of the stuff of this world and to see that He is the better sacrifice, that He is the one who satisfies the cravings of the soul. You don't need to go to the merchandisers. You don't need to go to the retailers and to the salesmen in order to find something that satisfies. There is something in Jesus. He is the one who has loved you with an everlasting love that He has given His very life for you. I bid you to come to Him, and I bid you to fix your eyes upon Him and to understand that it is not what you bring out of your pocket, out of your endeavor, out of your labor, out of your service, but it is simply by faith trusting in Him. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven
that he might come to live almost as a pauper in this world. Interesting that among the disciples he appoints a thief as the treasurer of the group. What does that have to say about how little Jesus thought of those, what most people think, that vitally important bit of money that they had? Jesus, he entrusts it to a thief who used to pilfer out of the bag. Oh, friend, in this world you will have trouble. But Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." By faith, Abel offered to God. I trust that you will come before the Lord in the manner which Abel did. He came and he said, "Lord, you have given me these things and I offer them back to you." It was that better sacrifice than what Cain was able to come up with. And through that simple act, through that simple devotion, through that simple love that permeated his whole being, through that heart attitude, he obtained this testimony that he was righteous. God being the one. This world might call you a fool, but they are the fools for not trusting in him who has come, who has loved us with such a lavish love. Dear friend, come to the cross. Come to the one who has loved you. And come and know that God will also testify about you as you walk by faith and live by faith, that even when you're gone from this world, that though passed away, passed on, your bones are somewhere laid in a grave, that yet you can speak most powerfully to this world that there is something better, better, better on ahead. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your word, and we rejoice in all of your goodness. So work in hearts and lives here, and may we indeed have a confidence that you are a great Savior, a great God, mighty to save, and may all of our rejoicing be in you. So, Lord, draw from us the heart of Cain and place within us that heart of the good man Abel, that we might trust and trust and trust and offer that better sacrifice of faith, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for sharing in Hearts to Believe. Let me remind you of our current free offer. It is a DVD of Pastor H.H. Barber, and it is the Memorial Set. You may have this free and postage paid simply by contacting us and requesting a copy. Our mailing address is Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C2H6. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-833-367-3852. Hearts to Believe is an extension of the Faith to Live By radio and television ministry based in Winnipeg. We leave you with the Apostle Peter's benediction. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.